In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tug Entertainment or its partners.
Welcome to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com. And hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com and 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Officer Radio is your source for the latest news, trends, and issues facing the law enforcement community. Join us each week as Officer Borelli and his guest examine, dissect, and discuss the issues facing our industry. Call in live and join the conversation to get your voice heard. Now, let's get to it. It's Officer Radio, live with Frank Borelli on Officer.com.
Good afternoon, world. Welcome to Officer Radio on Officer.com. I'm your host, editor for Officer.com, Frank Borelli. Forgive me as I try to get in my groove. I might stutter. I might, I might stop. I might not complete a thought. I'm looking at a radio show today with one guest in our final segment, and I'm still new enough to this that doing it by myself for 40 minutes without somebody else to talk, I don't want to say it scares me. Come on. 30 years as a cop, that doesn't scare you. Talking's easy. But talking and making you guys bored, that's what scares me. Today we'll talk about several topics ranging from the recent International Association of Chiefs of Police Conference, which from now on I'm just going to say IACP because I don't want to get that tongue-tied, to various fall topics such as Halloween, Thanksgiving, maybe touch on some Christmas stuff. Each of them does have law enforcement-related concerns, even if it's having to miss family celebrations or where you eat a meal for a given day. We'll also be talking about the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, the National Law Enforcement Museum, and perhaps a few other related topics. I'm pleased to announce that barring any unforeseen circumstances, the chairman and CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, Mr. Craig Floyd, will be a regular guest on Officer Radio. He's kindly agreed to be the final guest of Officer Radio on the last Thursday of each month. So mark your calendars and be sure to tune in. We'll get updates from him on a regular basis about the memorial and the museum. Since today's the last Thursday for October, Mr. Floyd will be joining us to conclude today's radio show. Throughout the show, as always, we'll be taking calls from you listeners. The number to dial is 866-404-6519. That's 866-404-6519. If you have a comment, question, observation, or other thought to share, please don't hesitate to dial me up. I will be here happy to talk to you and answer your questions. We've actually done that a couple of times now. I like to think we do an okay job of it. If you're not comfortable calling, feel free to send me an email. The email address is frankborelli@officer.com. All one word, FrankBorelli at officer.com. I'll check it every several minutes during the show and reply to comments as I can. Today's show, like all of them, will be archived on the Officer.com radio page as well as our podcast page. To find it for reference or future listening, just go to Officer.com and on the top navigation bar, click on the Media Center. In our Media Center, on the blue navigation bar, you'll see the link for Officer.com radio right next to the link for our podcast library. I'd be really delighted if you'd bookmark the page, use it as reference. We do have some good material. We talk about good topics. We bring you some good information. Hopefully, as you know, Officer.com has a Facebook fan page and a Twitter feed. Like us on Facebook, follow us there, and follow us on Twitter so we can keep information flowing to you all and every option available that we have, and you guys can keep information flowing back to us as well. So, with all of that introductory administrative stuff out of the way, let's get into today's show. As I mentioned earlier, we'll regularly get and provide updates about the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial and the Law Enforcement Museum. You know, it's a sad reality that the memorial even has to exist. It's a fantastic cause and an action that honors the memories and services of all the fallen. And in that sense, it's absolutely necessary and a decent, great thing to do. But I just wish it wasn't necessary. I wish we'd never lost any officers to line of duty deaths. I wish that being a police officer was risk-free and carefree and that people actually appreciated everything we do for them and trying to help them and that nobody bore us any ill will. We might get to some news stories in a little bit about some ill will that's being demonstrated against police officers as we do our jobs, as we do our duties. Maybe we'll get to that later. Reality, though, is different. Reality is that we've lost officers every year to violence and to accidents. Sometimes we lose officers whose bodies can't handle the stress and strain of the immediate task that they're undertaking. As much as I mourn for the loss of every officer, I mourn even more the loss of an officer who could have done something to prevent their death but didn't. And I think that it behooves every one of us to remember that in our earliest defensive tactics class, the instructor reminded us that we are our own first weapon and we have to take care of that weapon above all else. Yeah, I know it may sound harsh, but one of the ways we use dash cam videos is to learn from the mistakes of others. And I'm talking about, you know, we mourn the death of officers who could have done something to prevent it but didn't. And do we learn from that? Yeah, we do. You know, we use dash cam videos. We use after action reports. We learn from the mistakes of the fallen, and that's not dishonoring their memory. It's honoring their sacrifice by learning lessons that their actions can provide. It's helping to ensure that their loss, their sacrifice will never be in vain, that the sacrifice they've made will always be a part of the life's blood of the law enforcement community. But beyond learning from the mistakes of others, it also behooves us to seek out our own lessons before we're faced with the challenges that may take our life, before it's too late. And we never know when that's going to happen. No police officer goes to work planning to die in the line of duty, any more than a pilot takes off planning to crash a plane. It's the unexpected happens, and we have to prepare ourselves for it as much as we can. We need to seek out the correct training. Such training isn't hard to find, but you do have to filter it out from all the BS training that's out there. I mean, let's be ugly honest here for a minute. After the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, people referring to themselves as quote-unquote police trainers came out of the woodwork. Folks with even just a little bit of investment capital were advertising the latest, greatest whiz-bang training courses you could ever possibly want. Then if you took the course, you'd realize it was repackaged material you'd already learned somewhere else. And you know what? Those people that were providing you that training, they knew that too. That's how they got it. They went someplace else, got it, repackaged it, and sold it to you. And they're not trainers. They're business people. They're snake oil salesmen. They're making a buck. And I don't begrudge anybody trying to earn an honest living. I don't appreciate people trying to make a sleazy dollar, and I think y'all know what I mean. So if you have that kind of experience, if you attend the training from one of those folks, share it. Tell your friends, tell your coworkers, hey, don't go to this guy's training. This was a waste of my time and money. But on the other hand, well, let me finish there. Is that a harsh thing to do? Yeah, but you know what's worse? Not saying anything and letting your friends and coworkers waste the already limited training dollars that we all have on training that won't do them any good. Seek out the training where the instructor starts off with a statement about not looking at the clock, about being more worried about the delivery of knowledge and skill objectives than when happy hour starts, about how what they are teaching isn't the way. It's not the latest, greatest, whiz-bang, end-all, be-all answer to every problem or challenge. It's just one way. And it's a way that in their experience has worked. In your experience, and they'll warn you about this if they're any good, in your experience, it might need some variation to work. But it's one more skill to put in your toolbox and call out when you need it some dark, cold, lonely night when you're by yourself and fighting for your life. Seek those trainers out. Seek out the trainers who put your life before your dollar. They do exist. They are out there. You can find them. And just as you warn your friends about the scam artists, you're equally duty-bound to share information with your friends and coworkers about the trainers and or companies you found that you think they should attend because of its high value. Don't just spread the negative information. Spread the positive information as well, doubly so. It's very important we get the good stuff. If we get the bad stuff, if we get the wasted stuff, I mean, if it's guys or girls, brothers and sisters, if you get training that is just teaching you something dangerous, and I mean dangerous, I mean everything we do has risk, but I mean it's just stupid. You know that if you do that, you're increasing your chances of getting hurt. If you find training like that, you need to sing it from the rooftops. Let everybody know. Avoid that like the plague. But if it's training that, yeah, it was a waste of your time and money because it was stuff you already learned, that's not really as bad as people who are teaching you how to die, which is the you know, that negative extreme. But when you get good training from good people, pass that word strongly to serve both your brother and sister's cops and the people who do that training. It's important. Speaking of such training, and yes, I'm going to be a little bit arrogant, but I'm not talking about training that I deliver, and I'm not talking about training that my organization delivers. But speaking of training, I want to call your attention to an event that will occur during Police Week in 2012. I feel some sense of personal responsibility for this event because it was an idea I had, and I am arrogant enough to admit that. It was a concept I shared 4 years ago with several people in the industry whom I work with, and I'm blessed to work with them. And now that I see it coming to fruition, I also see what is inevitable. People are going to challenge the value of it, or in this case, whether or not it's classy or tasteless. We know that that's up for debate, depending on your perspective, I suppose. But this year, in 2012, during Police Week 2012, on May 13th and 14th, there will be a training conference and exposition held at the Ronald Reagan Building, about 5 blocks distance from the memorial. Called Officer World, this expo will deliver training provided by the highly respected National Sheriff's Association. And the key is this, and this was something I harped on consistently. Every course offered focuses on delivering training that will help the attending officers go home alive at the end of every shift. In my mind, our fallen brother and sister officers would support such training because their spirits, at least I have to believe this, would be delighted to meet no more of us in an untimely fashion. The spirits of the fallen would be grateful if there were no more fallen. I just have to believe that. The training will be delivered at no cost to the attending officers. On the exposition floor, there will be vendors displaying products that help keep those officers alive so they can go home safely at night. And make no mistake, just like you, my brother and sister officers, I can smell a snake oil salesman a mile away. I've enjoyed having a hand in coordinating the development of this training conference, and I refused to work on it unless certain conditions were met. And when we come back from this first break, I'll talk to you about those conditions and what they mean.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. In May of 2011, a small brown-eyed boy proudly showed off the law enforcement buttons he had pinned to his shirt in honor of his dad, an officer killed in the line of duty 6 years ago. Then the reality set in. This boy was just a few days away from his 6th birthday. He never got the chance to meet his dad, nor did thousands of children whose parents' names are forever etched into the living memorial in Judiciary Square. Join us in 2012 as we launch Officer World Expo in Washington, D.C. in our effort to reduce the intolerably large number of officers who didn't get to go home to their families. OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to be a rock star. Get ready to rock with Rock Talk and Kirk Deswald and learn how to achieve rock star status in your industry every Tuesday afternoon at 2, 1 Central on TalkingNet.com. Craig Deswald is the creator of the Rock Star System for Success. Craig will share easy tips and strategies on how entrepreneurs and businesses can use outside-the-box marketing strategies to stand out from their competition. Each high-energy show will feature interviews with celebrity rock stars as well as business rock stars. For more on Craig, the show, and the Rockstar Marketing Boot Camps, check out the website, CraigDuswalt.com, so you can learn how to be perceived as an expert and celebrity in your field, so more people come to you to buy your services and products. Then, get ready to be a rock star with Rock Talk and Craig Deswald. Tuesday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TalkingNet.com. Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com, and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Folks, good afternoon again and welcome back. We're discussing, when we left, we were discussing Officer World. I'm going to continue on with some information about that during this break. The number you can call in on if you're interested is 866-404-6519. That's 866-404-6519. Or you can email me comments to Frank Borelli at officer.com, and I will answer them as I can. So where were we? We were talking about Officer World, and I was pleased to have a I don't want to say a prominent role, but it was I got to play coordinator. I got to be the man in the middle to try to put together different pieces, and bring in the National Sheriff's Association through a relationship that's existed there for more than 20 years. We've Officer.com and the Law Enforcement Memorial have worked diligently for the last three, and we will be again to live web stream the candlelight vigil so that the officers who and the family members and the survivors and the supporters, anybody who couldn't be there for the event live in person, could still see it and participate via the web. So when right before the break, we were talking about the training, and the training that's going to be delivered is going to be officer survival focused, delivered at no cost to the attending officers. The vendors that will have products on display will be those dedicated to the officer's safety. And as I started to say before we left, I can smell a snake oil salesman a mile away. I'm not really fond of him, a used car guy. I have enjoyed playing a direct coordinating role in the development of this training conference. And early on, I made it very clear, I think, to the concern or the aggravation of my higher-ups, the people that I answer to, that I would not work on it unless we were welcome to provide the training by the National Law Enforcement Memorial representatives. We regularly communicate with them. We keep them up to date with what we're doing. And if we had any indication that they were displeased, we wouldn't have proceeded with this idea. Their permission, if you will, they're not objecting. They have to be very careful in the industry, obviously, as well. But we didn't want to do anything to offend them, and that's been our primary goal up front. I refused to work on it unless we had approval from the Fraternal Order of Police in D.C. D.C. FOP1, they do a lot during Police Week every year, and we didn't want to do anything to take away from them. They represent a huge number of officers at various levels of government, and we didn't want to do anything that would step on their toes. So we couldn't do anything until we made sure we had their blessing. I refused to work on it unless we had a nationally recognized and respected organization provide the training, and that the training would directly be officer survival related. Quite thankfully, we were able to secure to reach an agreement to invite in. And we are now blessed to have the National Sheriff's Association providing that training. We approached them and asked, and they pounced on it like a hungry panther on a dead gazelle or on a running gazelle, whatever analogy you want to use. They were as honored to do it as we were to ask them for it. So in my view, Officer World is really just a coordinating effort that provides the venue for the National Sheriff's Association to provide that valuable training at no cost to the attending officers. Officer World provides the venue for vendors to provide information, not sales pitch, but information about products they produce that protect or serve those who protect and serve. And that's how it should be. Among those vendors are such companies as Fulcrum Biometrics, ALS Technologies, LexisNexis, Liberty Artworks, Peacekeeper, Dummies Unlimited, Havis, and I can't tell you how many times the Havis Shield kept somebody from getting into my front seat, Sig Sauer, Custom Signals, DeSantis Gun Leather, Delta Gloves, Amchar Wholesale, Global Technology Systems, Flying Cross by Feckheimer, Badge Keeper, Taser, and in a minute we're going to talk about the Innovation Awards, and Taser was quite thankfully the material for me to crack a joke that was almost funny, Macho Man, the Red Man Training, Original SWAT Footwear, and IR Tactical. That's a relatively short and not all-inclusive representative list of the vendors who have stepped up so far, willing to back the event, and they are part of the reason the training delivered by the National Sheriff's Association will be delivered at no cost. I feel like I'm up on a soapbox preaching, and that certainly isn't my intent. As a veteran law enforcement trainer since 1989, I mean, I've been at this 23 years training. Next year marks 30 years for me in law enforcement. Obviously, training is near and dear to my heart, and I do see it as one of the best solutions to reducing line of duty deaths. We can never get enough of it, and all too frequently in any given budget, it gets cut first. Sometimes the administrators don't have any other choice. Sometimes I hope those administrators hang their heads in shame because they're cutting where they know nobody's going to give them grief about it. And they know the harm they're doing when they cut it. I do truly believe that with the right training, we can keep officers going home alive and unhurt at the end of each shift. That has to be our goal. That has to be our focus. Whether that's reminding us, each of us, of our own mortality to keep us alert, whether it is providing training to help us react to attacks or to give us tactics, to teach us tactics to avoid those attacks, whether it's going and honoring the memories of the fallen, the sacrifice that they made, and reconfirming within ourselves our commitment to that same willingness to sacrifice, not eagerness, but willingness to sacrifice. Whatever it takes, That has to be our goal. That has to be our focus. During Police Week especially, training with any other focus I don't feel is appropriate. And even during such officer survival training, I've insisted on and I've received excellent support about a moment of silence to honor the fallen. I don't think we can do any less. I think we owe it to the fallen to honor their memory, to be as good as we can be. I think we owe it to the communities that we serve to be as professional and just as we can be. And doing that takes training. Quite thankfully, I'm in a position where I can be proud to say the company that I work for is the coordinating body that is putting together these other organizations so that that kind of training can be delivered to my brother and sister police officers at no cost to them. I don't know how I can say it any more strongly than that. There are people who apparently take issue with me and my outlook. The phone number is 866-404-6519, and my email address is frankborelli@officer.com. Feel free to give me a call. Feel free to send me a comment. I will defend my position as much as I will every one of my brother and sister police officers to my dying breath. Now, without that out of the way and a good chunk of the show still left, let me get into something else that I like. This past weekend, like I said, I was at the IACP conference in Chicago. Now, I'm not a fan of cities. Chicago is another city. It's one I'd never been to before to stay. I'd driven through it on my way to Wisconsin. Beautiful view from the hotel we stayed in. I could see right across the street at Grant Park. And Officer.com held an event Sunday evening. Every year we hold the Innovation Awards where we honor the vendors in the industry that come up with new and innovative products to increase officer survival. And for us, that's what it's all about. Our 2011 Innovation Awards were held in the Willis Tower, which used to be the Sears Tower, on the 66th floor. And it was an absolutely beautiful view. We held it in the Metropolitan Club. We had a goodly number of people show up, a couple hundred people show up, and four of us took turns at the podium. I am blessed to work with three other editors, Mr. Jonathan Kozlowski, Ms. Sarah Schreiber – sorry, Sarah, I knew I'd get my tongue tied – and Ms. Tabitha Wethel. And the four of us took turns at the podium announcing the winners and the finalists as well as – giving away some raffle prizes. I picked on some of our salespeople, our account representatives that handle the advertising sales for the various publications. I picked on some of them, got them up out of their chairs, made them come up and pick out a business card so for the raffle so we could give stuff away. they didn't have any warning because I hadn't planned on it till about 15 seconds before I decided I was going to do it. And that kind of made it fun. So 2011 Innovation Awards were held. They were very successful as far as I'm concerned. We had different categories. Let me go through them. We had a body armor and safety category. The winner was Brownells with their QD360 ID product. It's a yellow-green fluorescent banner that identifies a non-uniform officer during an emergency situation. It's worn in a black nylon pouch. You pull it out up over across your head to the opposite shoulder, and you have front and rear reflective identification that quick and easy. And if this helps prevent a blue-on-blue shooting, then thank God. You know, it's a quick, easy means of identification that's 360 degrees identifiable and visible. It's better than having a badge held up facing only one direction. The other two finalists for that category were Bright Strike Technologies with their APALS Air product and Winter Walking with their Ice Grips. And, you know, I often wondered when I saw some of these the entries, some people would laugh and wonder, what do you need with ice grips? Well, it's just like a tracks that attaches to your shoe. And if you've never been on an icy hill and slid on your butt about a quarter mile down that hill until you ran into something at the bottom that stopped you, if you've never done that, you really can't appreciate this particular product. But yeah, I understood them completely. It made sense. In the communications category, GTS Honeywell Batteries was the winner with their emergency operations charging case. The charging case is organized and efficient means to simultaneously charge up to 18 radios or batteries for a command post or an emergency operations center. Runs off of either AC or DC power. Cool product to have for your mobile command post. The finalists were Prime Radio with their WTX 500 series. And I can't say this right. It's X-A-C-O-R-E, Zacor Threat 4 X6200 series. And I knew I could mess it up if I tried. Let me do one last one, and then we're going to go to our next break. In the corrections category, we had the winner was Securitas Inc. No Shank General Population Security Toothbrush. And I'll tell you about it when we get back. I thought it was silly, but it's not. We'll be back after our break.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these. Here comes Motherhood Talk Radio, the most powerful voice in women's issues today. With Sandra Beck and Christy Holly. Tuesday evenings at 6, 5 Central, GunTuggyNet.com. Motherhood Talk Radio provides a powerful platform for women today by giving interesting, inspiring, and inspirational information to mothers around the globe as they navigate everything from child care to corporate formation. Motherhood Talk Radio will have best-selling authors, gurus of happiness, women of interest, who every single day make our world a better place for our families. Motherhood Talk Radio, powered by Motherhood Incorporated, is co-hosted by corporate executive Sandra Beck and stay-at-home mom Christy Holly. For more information on each and the show, go to MotherhoodTalkRadio.com. Mom, this really is your show. Motherhood Talk Radio with Sandra Beck and Christy Holly. Tuesday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TuggyNet.com.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. Join thousands of other law enforcement professionals attending Police Week, May 12th through the 17th, 2012, in Washington, D.C. The new Officer World Expo at Police Week will offer training, conference sessions, and networking opportunities to better equip those who protect others. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back again. We're here in our third segment of the show today. Again, I would like to invite you to call in if you have a comment, 866-404-6519. That's 866-404-6519, or you can email me comments. The email address is frankborelli@officer.com, and I check it every few minutes during the show. You might hear the mouse button clicking in the background as I go. So before we left for the break, we were talking about the Innovation Awards and the Corrections category, the Securitas Inc. No Shank Security Toothbrush. It's got a 4-inch long skeleton handle, one-piece toothbrush made of this soft polymer material, so it can't be made into a stabbing weapon. It's like trying to stab somebody with a sponge. It just doesn't work. The finalists in the category were Berkeley Veritronic Systems, the Watch Hound, and the same company, Wolfhound Pro. In the firearms and weapons category, the winner was Taser International for the Taser X2. Now, it was really amazing, of course, when you announce the winner in a category, everybody applauds, and they get this. In this case, they got almost a standing ovation. I mean, people were really strongly applauding for the Taser X2, and I got up to do the raffle, and I had to comment, and my comment was, you know, I'm a Taser instructor, and because I'm a Taser instructor, as part of getting that certification, I got shot with a Taser. Now, it wasn't the X2. I've been shot with an M26 and an X26. I've been exposed without being shot, without having the probes fired into me. I don't applaud for that. I recognize the value of the product, and it's a phenomenal tool, and I appreciate having it on my belt and my person, but holy crap, don't ever point that thing again at me. That just sucks. They don't call it riding the lightning for nothing. So, firearms and weapons category, Taser International X2 won. The finalists were Laser Energetics, Inc. for their Dazer Laser Guardian and ALS Technologies, Inc. for the LMT. It's a 37 or 40 millimeter single shot launcher for launching munitions. In firearms and weapons accessories category, we had the Lancer Systems L5 Advanced Warfighter Magazine, and it is essentially it's an M16. It's a magazine for 5.56 by 45 millimeter ammo that fits into a lot of semi-automatic rifles. In this case, if I'm not wrong, it's polymer with a particular kind of metallurgy in the spring that makes it very long-lasting and rugged. The finalists were ATK Security and Sporting, the Blackhawk Taser X26 Duty Holster. That name gets longer and longer. I liked Blackhawk when it was Blackhawk. Not that I don't like ATK, but ATK Security and Sporting, Blackhawk, ! Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to say Blackhawk from now on. And then the TWB Designs, Inc. EMAX Ammo Burner. In the forensics category, the winner was Fulcrum Biometrics, LLC, for their FBF Mobile 1. It's an affordable pocket-sized digital biometric fingerprint collection accessory that snaps onto the Apple iPod or iPhone. The purpose of the Mobile 1 is to allow users to collect high-quality, that's FBI PIV-compliant, fingerprints of suspects, detainees, or even deceased individuals rapidly and efficiently and obviously right there on the scene. Folks, we're not talking about NCIS science fiction. We're talking about reality. The finalists were Ocean Systems Omnivore and Essent Technology LLC ChemPrint. In the software category, LexisNexis, with their Accurant Mobile product, was the winner. They have found a way in a secured fashion to connect government and law enforcement agencies to more than 30 billion public records, and that becomes such a valuable investigations tool. As anybody who's done investigations well knows, access to public records is a beautiful thing to have, but if you can't do it quick and easy, then you might as well be wasting years flipping through paper in a file drawer. The finalists were 4A Technologies Bag and Tag, Innovative Data Solutions, Inc., Power DMS Standards. In the surveillance category, let's see, we have several here. I'll keep going through. In the surveillance category, the winner was FreightWatch SecurityNet, Geo F2 Covert GPS Tracker. How many times have we seen in a TV show? How many times have we known people do major narcotics investigations? How many times have we managed an informant that we need to know where they are and where they're going and what they're doing. And that's exactly what this covert GPS tracker is for. It allows us to keep a leash on them electronically. The finalists were BriefCam, the VS Enterprise, and 511 Tactical's Covert 18 Pack. And I'm not on 511's payroll, but that's my pack of choice. It looks like a college kid's campus laptop bag. It doesn't look like a tactical bag, but it has all the right design features internally to be a tactical bag. And, well, the TSA guys did look at me a little funny because the holster and the magazine pouches inside mine were empty as I was getting on the plane. But as far as I know, we don't get arrested for having nylon yet. In the tactical category, Lenco Armored Vehicles has a gas injector unit that won. It's a multi-use tool designed specifically for the safe dispersion of chemical agents into a hostile environment. And I would not want to see it punched through my wall. Thank you very much. The finalists were Webster Innovations LLC TMK, the Tactical Microphone Keeper, which is – I mean, this is cool. How many people out there listening wish they were the guy that invented the paper umbrella that goes into a Mai Tai? Because if you had, you'd be a millionaire by now. This is the same kind of – it's not a paper umbrella, obviously. It's a microphone keeper, but it's a carefully designed, properly shaped piece of plastic that you hook on your uniform that you can hook your microphone to and hold your microphone in place. So simple, yet so ingenious. Jersey Tactical Corporation's JTC Claw was the other finalist in the tactical category. In the traffic enforcement category, Custom Signals, Inc. with their ProLaser 4 was the winner. Smaller, lighter, faster target specific acquisition is the opening line in their identification for their product. The finalists were, I can't say this, I'll spell it, T-A-M-I-A-M-I, Time Adam Mary Ida, Adam Mary Ida. International Equipment, Inc., portable vehicle barrier. In today's world of counterterrorism, anti-terrorism, physical security needs, portable vehicle barriers are a good idea. The other finalist was Affinition Drug Wipe, saliva only. The more technology we get on the street, the more potential we have to trip ourselves up on constitutionally protected issues. If it's a saliva only, we're still good to go. So that's quite a handy tool. In the training category, wait a minute, my computer just blinked on me. In the training category, the winner was Dummies Unlimited, Inc. for their SWAT targets. It's a life-size 3D target that you shoot. I mean, it's a firearms target. It's 3D, which makes it a little bit more realistic than shooting paper. And you can shoot as much as off-center angle as much as 45 degrees to either side, as well as straight on, obviously, to have a little bit more realistic training scenario. The finalists were Officer Under Fire, their perpetrator shooting target, and the Stress Vest Corporation Stress Vest. In the uniforms and apparel category, Riverside Ventures LLC has the Badge Keeper. You know, I used to always have to pin my badge on the inside of my uniform shirt. I had an old library card, and I would pin my badge through that so it didn't move. You put your name tags in the same thing, so that it didn't move. It stayed nice and stiff, and it didn't flop the material of the uniform around. It was something I learned in the military, carried in law enforcement. I thought I was smart. It turned out everybody in law enforcement knew how to do that in my academy class. The Riverside Ventures Badge Keeper product is designed specifically to do that so that your badge doesn't hang loose. It doesn't pull your shirt. The finalists were Safety Innovations Walkie Clip and Bandzorb's Disposable Liners. In the vehicle and vehicles accessories, Havis Inc. Won for the 2011 Ford Explorer K9 transport unit. As I said earlier, a Havis shield has stopped more than one perpetrator from being able to spit through from the back seat to the front seat, and certainly stopped them from being able to get from the back seat to the front seat. And we all know, no matter how well you hog tie them and handcuff them and seat belt them and everything else, they find a way to get a chunk up there if they want to, and we don't like that. The finalists were Rockwell Collins for their iForce Integrated Public Safety Vehicle Solution and the Genetic AutoView Sharp X. Now, this year, the Innovation Awards added an award, the Paramount Award. Out of all of the winners, all the entries, we let at our panel, and by the way, the panel of judges was 12 police officers from different agencies at all different ranks that got together. None of them obviously work for Cygnus Business Media, Cygnus Law Enforcement Group, or any other part of Cygnus, and they are our impartial judging panel. So this year, we asked them to also pick the Paramount Award. The Paramount Award went to Fulcrum Biometrics for their FBF Mobile One. They felt it was a premier product, very valuable in being able to collect those fingerprints out in the field just by having this tool in your pocket and pull it out, use it appropriately. The runners-ups were Briefcam, their Briefcam VS Enterprise, and Ocean Systems Omnivore, which looks like nothing more than a jump drive. And if you think of the term omnivore, you know that an omnivore eats everything. Well, what's a jump drive eat? A jump drive eats information. It stores files and data. And let's just say, as I understand it, because I wasn't one of the judges and I have limited information, it was as good as its name. Now, in this segment, I think we have a little bit less than 2 minutes left. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mr. Craig Floyd from the Memorial. If we get a chance, we'll talk about some of the stuff going on the streets, this Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Oakland, Occupy Chicago. Our brother and sister officers are being criticized for exercising extremely low levels of force in trying to keep these protesters from creating unsafe situations. This has been a very sensitive topic. Some people have responded. Some of my brothers and sister officers have responded very unprofessionally, trying to crack jokes about, the need for the use of force. And I can't agree with that. I'm loath to criticize my brother and sister officers, but we have to maintain a professional demeanor. If you go to officer.com and you look for. You search professional demeanor. I wrote a blog to this effect. Our performance has to always be to the pinnacle of professionalism. That's the standard to which we're held. It's the one to which we should aspire, but we should never, ever have to risk our life simply not to use force on somebody who's breaking the law, and that's where a lot of the mainstream media focus is going. We have to do what we have to do to go home at the end of the night. As I said earlier in the show, we'll be back with Mr. Craig Floyd in just a moment. Talk about NLE OMF.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. 152. The number of law enforcement fatalities in 2010. The numbers are too high. Any line of duty death is unacceptable. Join us in Washington, D.C. next year during National Police Week at the first ever Officer World Expo as we combine a unique training opportunity with the largest police memorial in the United States. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com for details and to join the mailing list. Officer World Expo, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
It's time to get your boots on with the Boot Campaign with hosts Megan Roth and Bailey Gray, Thursdays at noon, 1 Central on TogiNet.com, sponsored by Austin Bank. The whole point of the Boot Campaign is to continue the true grassroots initiative developed by a group of patriotic women known as the Boot Girls. Inspired by the true story of Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor, the Boot Girls got started with celebrities but want every American to get your boots on by purchasing a pair of the Give Back Combat Boots. The campaign's motto is simple. When they come back, we give back. For more on the Boot Campaign, go to the website, bootcampaign.com. The Boot Campaign Get Your Boots On show will feature discussions on current events impacting the lives of active duty and retired military, interviews with our nation's war heroes, medical professionals, and celebrities who have put their boots on. Do your part and join us for the Boot Campaign Get Your Boots On show with Megan Roth and Bailey Gray, Thursdays at noon, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Officer Radio. powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com, and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back, listeners, to Officer Radio. Feel free to call in with comments, 866-404-6519, or email frankborelli@officer.com. Yes, I sound like I've slowed down. I had some wind taken out of my sails. We're joined this segment by Mr. Craig Floyd from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. And as I do the show, I always keep a number of windows open on my computer for reference so I can look at information, find news to discuss. And I happen to have up my Facebook page, and quite thankfully, Craig Floyd honored me with being a friend on Facebook, and I see a post he posted about a Richmond County Sheriff's Deputy, James D. J.D. Pugh, or Paul, I don't know how to say that, Craig will correct me, who was shot and killed on October 23rd. And, you know, we talk about keeping officers alive, and I see this news of an officer's death right before I welcome Mr. Floyd to the show. Craig, say the man's name right, and let's give him a moment. I can't believe we lost another one.
Well, it's James D. J.D. Paul, and he did serve with the Richmond County Sheriff's Office in Georgia. And interestingly, he was a motorman, and he was on his way home from his shift, as I understand it, shot and killed when he stopped to assist a disabled vehicle, or at least what he thought was a disabled vehicle. He was met with an assault rifle that was fired and shot and killed him in one of those tragic circumstances. Officers trying to help someone, and they get killed for their actions. It's unfortunate, and he's now the 150th officer fatality that we've been able to identify this year already. Last year, for the entire year, we had 152, so we're well ahead of last year's pace, and the fatalities for officers continues to spike.
It's all the more reason for us to stay aware and try to stay safe and go home at the end of the night. You know, I mentioned some of the numbers at our Innovation Awards Sunday in Chicago, and I feel bad. I was off. I didn't think the number was up that high yet. And quite thankfully, we've gone at least 3 or 4 days now without an officer fatality. God, I wish we could make it to the end of the year.
That's always our goal. You know, we kept saying when it got down to as low as 122 deaths in 2009 that, boy, for the first time since the 1940s, we thought we might be able to see that number someday soon get below 100. Unfortunately, the numbers have begun to go in just the opposite direction since then. In 2010, there were 152 fatalities. That was a 25% increase over the year before. And this year, we're already more than 20% higher than last year. Nearly a 30% increase this year already, Frank, in the number of officers killed by firearms. Some 53 officers killed by firearms already in 2011. And that's perhaps the worst news of all.
You know, it just makes me want to put my uniform on and go back out on the street and try to work better with my brother and sister officers. I feel like, you know, if there was one more good guy out there, maybe it would do some good. I'm sorry, I missed you in Chicago. I understood you were there. One of the ladies in the NLEOMF booth told me that I had missed you.
Unfortunately, and I saw so many friends and supporters out in Chicago. It was one of the best conferences I've ever attended in terms of networking, reconnecting with old friends, meeting a lot of new ones. And I tell you, that IACP conference is something special. When you get 15 to 20,000 law enforcement leaders from across the land, along with so many of our corporate partners and prospective partners, boy, that's just a place you want to be for the last 5 or 6 days for me personally. I got back late last night and just felt like it was probably the most productive, most exciting week of the year, second only for us to National Police Week here in Washington in May, where more than 20,000 officers and survivors, stakeholders, supporters gather here to honor the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice.
It is a as I was trying to explain to somebody in Chicago, it's a very moving and unique experience. We talk about Police Week and we talk about the Candlelight Vigil, and if you haven't been there, you really can't feel it. And I've seen really hard, tough men just break down in tears when the names are being read and during the ceremony. And I would encourage anybody listening, if you haven't been there, go. If once you've been, you'll go back every year and you'll take friends and coworkers with you. It's an amazing experience. What news is there for the memorial or for the museum, Mr. Floyd?
Well, we have just so much happening right now. The good news, of course, we had our celebratory gala about a week ago. We celebrated the 20th anniversary of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. Can you believe it, Frank? That memorial has been down there in Judiciary Square now for 20 years, dating back to its dedication day on October 15th, 1991. And so we figured it was just right to commemorate that anniversary with a celebratory gala. We had Michael Chertoff, the former Secretary of Homeland Security, serve as our host and chairman for the evening. We had Richard Belzer from Law & Order SVU as our MC. We had Vincent D'Onofrio with us, the star, former star of Law & Order Criminal Intent. Now got a new show in the works, and Vince is our national spokesperson. Of course, we had video messages and greetings from people like Clint Eastwood, our honorary chairman of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial and the National Law Enforcement Museum. We even had a video tribute from none other than President George H.W. Bush, the man who served as President of the United States on the day we dedicated the National Memorial. He's also now serving as our honorary co-chair for the National Law Enforcement Museum campaign, along with President Clinton, and it was great to hear from President Bush. We also presented our Distinguished Service Award for this year, our most prestigious award that we hand out, to Dick Wolf, the creator of Law & Order, the entire franchise. He's done such a magnificent job humanizing law enforcement, showing officers to be human beings, with flaws, and yet just such dedicated individuals who will never stop until they help people in need or solve a difficult crime. And we felt Dick Wolf and his franchise Law & Order were well deserving of that award. And then perhaps one of my favorite highlights of the night, certainly, was when the vice president from Glock, the handgun company, walked onto the stage and presented me with a $2 million check for the National Law Enforcement Museum. Yes,
$2 million?
Exactly. $2 million, and they are now the 10th million-dollar-plus donor to the National Law Enforcement Museum campaign, and we couldn't be more proud to have Glock on board. You know, obviously the leading manufacturer and supplier of handguns to law enforcement here in the United States. They basically provide about 65% of all the handguns to our officers in law enforcement service, and I think that surprises people. You know, you hear some of the other names, but it's really Glock that leads the industry when it comes to handguns for law enforcement.
Well, you know, I'll tip my hat to them. I own several. I'm not going to deny it. I'm a Glock fan. Not that I think there's anything wrong with some of the other manufacturers' weapons, and I have some of them in my gun safe as well. But and I knew Glock owned, you know, they serve about 2/3 of the market. But that is just phenomenal, Craig. I'm almost $2 million. That is fantastic. I'm glad to see that. I am glad to see that.
It now puts our money raised total for the campaign for the museum at over $46 million. And we have another major gift about ready to close. This will, in fact, be our biggest fundraising year we've ever had for the National Law Enforcement Museum campaign. It means that we continue to be on schedule to open that museum, hopefully by late 2013, early 2014. We started construction in earnest in January with utility relocation work and other site preparation work that's ongoing, and we'll conclude probably around the end of this year with the major excavation work and core and shell, actually building the building from the ground up starting mid-year next year.
Cool. Wow, that's outstanding. That is outstanding. I'm actually looking forward to it. I mean, I'm blessed in that I live within driving distance of D.C., and I'll be able to come up, and I'm really looking forward to the museum opening and being able to see some of that stuff that's in there, some of the collections that have been donated. I think it's going to be an amazing thing.
Well, it's something that's been in the works now for well over a decade, as you know, Frank, and it's been a very determined effort by a number of people, both in the corporate world as well as law enforcement, who really have banded together to make sure that law enforcement, their story got told to the American people, because as you and I know, only about one out of five Americans has any direct contact with a law enforcement professional, and most of those contacts are traffic stops. Yep. Certainly not the most positive relationship-building opportunity that we have to meet our officers. So we want people to understand what law enforcement is all about. It starts with a visit to the memorial, seeing row after row after row of names of officers who made the ultimate sacrifice for our safety and protection. But so many people want to know the stories, the inspirational stories behind those names. This museum will give us that opportunity in the Hall of Remembrance. And then throughout the rest of the museum, you'll have interactive, high-tech exhibitions that will allow people to really experience what it's like to be an officer, to make those split-second life or death decisions, how the training helps officers to deal with the difficulties and the dangers of the job. We're going to have a 911 emergency call center sponsored by Motorola Solutions. We've got a forensic science lab sponsored by Target. We have a changing exhibition gallery sponsored by DuPont, what we're calling Tools of the Trade, which is really a wonderful exhibition of weaponry and tools used by law enforcement that's being sponsored by MAG Instrument. So we have so many of exhibits that I think people are just going to be interested in, entertained by, and we've already collected more than 14,000 artifacts to go in our collection and to be throughout the museum to be populating those museum exhibits. So it's going to be a real exciting opportunity for people to get a chance to see what it's like behind the badge.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. We're running down to the end of our show, and I do appreciate you being here. The website, obviously, NLEOMF.org. Is there a standalone website yet for the museum?
There is lawenforcementmuseum.org, and you can go right there and see the museum. You can also get us by lawmemorial.org. There's a number of ways to find us, a number of different addresses that we use. But just type in National Law Enforcement Museum, National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, and you'll get all the information about the work that we do and how you can support it.
Okay. We're in our last 30 seconds, Craig. I'm assuming anybody who wants to make a donation to support either one can do that online, yes or no?
Yes, sir. Lawmemorial.org, and there's a donation button. Just click it, and we'd love to have the support.
Cool. Thank you very much for being with us today. I look forward to talking to you again next month, if not sooner. Listeners, thank you for being with us today. Any comments you have, I would be glad to respond to them by email. And this is Officer Radio on Officer.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for being a part of Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com, and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Each week, Officer Radio is